Are you struggling with money dysmorphia? Now, money dysmorphia is the new age digital version of keeping up with the Joneses. It's a condition where individuals have distorted perceptions of their financial situation, often leading to unhealthy behaviors and attitudes towards money. And much of this is being amplified by social media and technology. Now, today, we're going to be diving into this topic of money dysmorphia and providing tips on how to battle it. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Debt-Free Dad Podcast with Brad Nelson. Brad and his co-hosts experience the anxiety of living paycheck to paycheck before learning the fundamentals of financial success. They are now on a mission to empower regular people to pay off their debt for good and enjoy happier, less stressful lives. Keep listening for inspirational interviews, tips, tricks, and practical advice to gain financial freedom.
I am Brad Nelson, founder of Debt-Free Dad. I paid off $45,000 of debt and have been debt-free now for more than 11 years. I've also helped thousands of others save and pay off tens of millions of dollars with the work that we do here at Debt-Free Dad.
I'm Amber Taylor, and I paid off and saved $54,000 in 20 months, and we've been debt-free since May of 2018.
And I am Chris Hawkins. Between 2005 and 2008, we paid off just under $100,000 in debt, and have been debt-free except for our house ever since.
My name is Ryan Nelson. My wife and I paid off $160,000 in debt in about 8 years, and I have been debt-free outside my mortgage for about 4 years now.
Now, after listening to this episode, if you want to take this a step further and you'd like to get better results with your finances in as little as 30 to 60 days, I'll be sharing details about how you can do that later on in today's show. So guys, today we're talking about this new Keeping Up with the Joneses called Money Dysmorphia. And I want to read this article from Bloomberg. It was written by Aaron Lowry, who's a columnist there. It's more of an opinion piece, but I thought this was really good as far as when we talk about money mindset and really kind of thinking outside the box and hopefully helping listeners, because a lot of people are struggling with, you know, social media, keeping up with other people, friends and family. And it might look like a lot of these people are doing really great, which makes you feel really lousy for your own finances and your own situation. So I want to go through and read this article, and then we're going to react to this. Never hesitant to rebrand an existing phenomenon, millennials and their Gen Z frenemies are admitting to having money dysmorphia, a feeling of insecurity around their financial situation, even when the true picture reveals little cause for concern. Some 43% of Gen Z and 41% of millennials say they suffer from a flawed perception of their finances. And according to a recent Credit Karma study, while it might sound like just another form of TikTok-induced anxiety, money dysmorphia is a real problem that can cause someone to make poor or ill-informed decisions. Now, having a financial perceptive rooted in fear rather than fact is nothing new. Those of us with grandparents belonging to the greatest generation will recognize the Depression-era scarcity mentality. A scarcity mentality is a valid way to experience the world. An upbringing in which finances were tight will have a lifelong impact on how one thinks about and interacts with money. The trouble with money dysmorphia is that it can distort the thinking of someone whose lived experience is not one of scarcity, but of stability. This is not to suggest that all Gen Zers and millennials were raised in the financially stable homes and have continued to a comfortable middle class existence. Both generations have been dealt blows in terms of experiencing once in a lifetime or generation defining events at young ages. So perhaps it isn't surprising that more than 40% of both generations report having money dysmorphia, and 48% of Gen Z say they feel behind financially, and 59% of millennials feel the same. One major shift for both generations compared with previous ones is the constant access to information, both in the news and on social media. Gen Z especially has never lived in a world devoid of 24/7 news cycle or social platforms and search engines allowing you to fact check anything in an instant. The eldest members of Gen Z were only 10 when Apple launched the first iPhone. The oldest millennials were 26. Personally, I had just graduated high school, says the author. Millennials and Gen Zers keep hearing how tough we have it, how hard and expensive it is to buy a home, how much it costs to raise children and secure childcare, how big corporations, once seen as beacons for young, ambitious people, are now slashing jobs. These headlines can easily overshadow the reality that the U.S. economy is pretty healthy, at least for now. The challenges facing younger adults are real, but they can lead to an unhealthy narrative in someone's head that says that the other shoe could drop at any moment, that another pandemic will arise and force you to live off of savings for months, or that you won't ever be able to buy a house on top of your student loan payments, never mind being able to have children one day. And not to point fingers too much, but our parents may have helped solidify these fears with the money behaviors they modeled in their youth. Adding to the anxiety are images on social media featuring people showing off luxury consumer goods, flying first class to expensive destinations, and dining in notoriously difficult to book restaurants. Now, younger consumers are inundated with such content. Living in a big city brings displays of wealth into your day-to-day experience. You can see the Birkin bag on the street or note the legit Supreme hoodie or Cartier Love bracelet. It's easy to see why 45% of millennials and Gen Z surveyed for a Credit Karma study reported being obsessed with becoming rich. When you start with a pessimistic assessment of your own future, it's hard to imagine that your finances will improve in the normal course of your life and career. Yet instead of being in a constant state of unease, millennials and Gen Z could ground themselves by doing the math on what amount of money would actually make them sleep easier. Fixating on a nebulous goal like getting rich isn't helpful compared with putting numbers on a page and a timeline in place. Anyone that admits to experiencing dysmorphia is already acknowledging that their perceptions of their own finances aren't necessarily fact-based. It's a good first step, but the reality is that this mentality has no simple cure and can last a lifetime. Financial therapy or hiring a well-vetted financial planner or listening to this podcast could help, but some people might consider a more radical move and stop paying attention to the social media that sparked their unwarranted anxiety in the first place. So guys, there you have it. And again, I think, you know, I don't think money dysmorphia is really a new thing. I think I would compare it to this whole mentality of keeping up with the Joneses. And, you know, like the article states, I think a lot of that has been amplified just because of how instant information is available now, and especially with social media.
Well, and I think social media is designed to feed you exactly what you like and interact with. Social media is awesome. It has amazing qualities, and there's amazing things that happen on social media, like us. But I think social media also has just that you can get sucked into a world of like when you like and interact stuff, like with like, we don't like groceries are so expensive. If you like and interact with that sort of content, social media says you love this content. And so it fills your feeds up with, I can't afford groceries. And every time you log in, I can't afford groceries. I can't afford groceries. I can't afford a house. And so you just constantly all the time. And then you keep interacting with that, and it just keeps feeding it to you. And you end up with this mindset that you've now identify with, that groceries are expensive, even though potentially in your town, they're not as expensive as what everybody else says they are. Or someone, you know, like some of my favorite ones are like, eggs are $8. And that went on for months when eggs were like $2 back to $2 by me, but everybody was still saying they were $8. It's like, they're not $8. They were, not saying they weren't, but like we get on this thing where we just love to submit ourselves to that mindset, and it just destroys you. You've definitely, I think social media, you got to walk away from it when it comes to this, or at least find stuff that you can identify with that plays the other side.
Ryan, you're right. Social media can do a lot of great things. The new technologies of the day, such as a ability to record a podcast and share with the world your thoughts, your ideas, your beliefs, your opinions, those are great uses of technology. But the social media, you're right, they feed you what you want to hear, so that there's a bias. You think that because everything you see already agrees with your notion, that that's got to be the way the world works. And that has to be the way everybody thinks. Well, that's not the way everybody thinks. But the bottom line, every generation's had problems. Every generation's had to work hard and struggle and fail at times. Are they different from generation to generation? Yes. But the bottom line is, if you're somebody out there listening and you, whatever this word is, and you feel like, woe is me, just remember, you are the solution to the problem.
You make some good points. And I mean, I'm a millennial, and I was living before starting to pay off debt. I was living in this, you know, space where I was broke. I was always broke. I was always going to be broke. I was always going to have debt. I'm never going to be able to buy a house. That's never going to happen. So like, I can relate to the, what everyone's seeing on social media, because I was there. Yep. But then I made some changes. I found Brad's program. I started paying off debt. And before we knew it, we were buying a house. And this only happened 3 years ago. So like, it's not impossible to get into a home, millennial, Gen Z, it really does depend on how you are using your money, how you're planning your future, how you're deciding on your goals. So if you're letting what social media and everything's like, if you're letting that kind of steer you and guide you and get you into a funk, then that, you know, you got to try to stay away from that. But you can't stay off social media. You can, but like, we all use it for so many different uses that it's almost impossible to avoid it.
I think that's why you're seeing such a rise in it, though, is that, you know, essentially, and to answer your question, I looked this up for you, Chris, on Google. And it's kind of similar to body dysmorphia, or you spend a lot of your time comparing in body dysmorphia. You spend a lot of time comparing your looks to other people, and you tend to feel inadequate about your body image. It's the same thing when it comes to money. You look at people on social media, you look at friends and family, and again, it's that keeping up with the Joneses mentality. They look like they've got it all figured out. They're going on the nice vacations, they got the nice cars, they've got the house, and you look at yourself and it's like, I can't afford some of those things, and it's this feeling of inadequacy, essentially.
I'm not suggesting, and I don't think anybody here, Amber, I know you're certainly not, because you eloquently put your story right there in a few sentences. We're not trying to say that you don't have struggles, that you don't have problems. That we're not suggesting that, but what I'm suggesting, I think Amber, you followed up with this, is you can change it. There is hope. Mm-hmm. There is a solution, and you may not know what it is right now, but just keep at it. You'll figure it out. And this whole keeping up with the Joneses, that's what we call it. I guess dysmorphia, or whatever the term is the modern version of it, but that's always been around. Always. You can go back thousands of years and that's always been around. And if you're somebody young and you think that the baby boomer generation or the greatest generation or my generation has it figured out by and large as a generation, no, we don't. Because most people, when you look at the things that they have, how well that you think they're doing, all the trips that they go on, the nice house that they have, the nice cars that they drive, that is one side that they're showing you. But if you can ever open that front door and be a fly on the wall in the conversations that occur on the other side of that front door, 80% of the time, that conversation that goes on the other side of the door is totally different than what you see.
That was me. And I think people need to realize that. I'm okay saying that now. I wasn't years ago. All the trips we used to take, big house, the new cars, I posted all that stuff. And oh, amazing. Oh, wow. Wow, such a nice house, you know, and all the accolades. And then it was like behind closed doors, like, don't buy anything for the next 5 days, because we are like literally not going to have any money. And it was filled with fighting and arguing and all sorts of stuff. So it's like, and this was, you know, when Facebook was really just popular, you know, we didn't have all these other channels, but 100%. I mean, that's when I learned, and especially as I got out of debt, I don't take anything I see on social media with any sort of, I don't care what you're posting. I take all of it with a very small grain of salt at this point, because I live that life. I live that life. And we never like couldn't make our payments, but it was just a life full of stress and misery.
Well, guys, I think, you know, what I want to do on the episode, though, is just provide hopefully some insight as to how to combat that, you know, because mm-hmm. I think it is something. And Amber, I think you bring up the first point that I wanted to bring up tonight is just, you know, getting outside of the box and educating yourself and getting yourself to understand what's the reality for most people when it comes to their personal finances. And the reality is, sadly, most people are broke. You know, you got 6, almost 7 out of 10 people living paycheck to paycheck. You've got the majority of the country who can't handle a $500 emergency expense without going into debt. I mean, these are the common people. This is what you're seeing. So when you see that stuff on social media, the majority of what you're seeing, they're doing it with debt and payments. You know, and again, I'm not suggesting that you judge everybody, but all I'm saying is think twice, because right. Behind closed doors, or if you want a visual, just go count 6 or 7 out of 10 houses in your neighborhood, and those 6 or 7, 10 houses are like one life event away from their house of cards, their financial life collapsing, essentially. And so that can really bring some perspective in this whole topic, because once you understand that, you start to understand, it's like, okay, I don't necessarily want to feel jealous or have those feelings, because I understand that most of those people are broke now, right? So like for me, I don't even think twice anymore. Like, sure, when I see people, especially because I live in Wisconsin and people are going on vacation in the winter in January, February, and March, do I get a little jealous because they're getting some sun? Absolutely. But it's not the same type of jealousy I used to have where it was like fitting in, right? And trying to keep up with everybody. Now I could care less about the car someone's driving, the house that they live in, the stuff that they have, because I know firsthand how most people are getting that done. And they're getting it done with a lot of debt, with a lot of financial stress behind it. So I think that's kind of the first thing is like Amber said, is educating yourself on everything.
We have over 200 episodes for free. I think one of the big things that I hear is, you know, when it comes to financial education is, you know, if they only taught me the stuff in school, well, guess what? Our education doesn't stop when we graduate high school or college. You can be educated your entire life. So there is literally, like, if you didn't get educated in school, I didn't either. I don't, probably none of us on this call get this education in school from a financial perspective, but you got to be willing to like seek out people that can help you.
So I would say, you know, just as a general life skill, embrace being a lifelong learner, not just about money, but be constantly learning about new things. You mentioned about getting around the right people. What's the old saying that you are the average of the five people that you hang around the most?
Right.
Well, if you talk to and hang around people who are broke and who are living paycheck to paycheck, but presenting themselves as if they're wealthy and rich and you know, you want to be like them, that's probably the wrong group to hang out with. I'm not saying ditch your friends per se, but maybe ditch your friends. I don't know. hang around or at least have different discussions and learn from different people. That's part of being a lifelong learner. Finding a mentor or mentors. Who are the people who are out of debt? Ask them how they did it. And it goes back to what Ryan said. Brad, how many podcast episodes do you have now of those 200 and something that are of people who have told you how they did it? And there's a common theme. There's a common story that probably, well, not probably, mirrors all of our stories right here. There's a common theme. Just listen to those stories about people who got out of debt, and you'll start to hear the same answers over and over again. And part of it is they stopped caring about what other people thought about them.
Well, and I think you guys had said, you know, get yourself around the right people. I think the other part of that is open up your mind to new ideas. You know, it's interesting. You know, we'll post stuff on social media and TikTok especially. And it's amazing to me how many people, rather than asking how somebody did it, they immediately debunk it as that's impossible. I could never do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to change your mindset. Instead of saying you can't do it or there's no way I could do that, instead ask, how could I do it? What did they do? So that way you can take the bits and pieces that you could input into your own life. So that way you can start getting some better results too. And I think that's one of the things, you know, you got to break away from the common thinking that you've grown up with. And that's really hard to do. And the only way to do that is consistently be listening and getting yourself around people who are having different conversations like this podcast, because these conversations aren't happening for most people in the normal world throughout the day. But by listening to it on a regular basis, you begin to start thinking outside the box and actually looking at the possibilities of, we could do this, and what are the pieces that we're learning here that we could start working on, so that way we can start, you know, getting out of this dysmorphia or this, you know, paycheck to paycheck financial mindset that we're stuck in.
Well, and I think, to be fair, I think all of us probably had some sort of, there's no way we could do this, right?
For sure. 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, for sure. I mean, I know, and Brad, I've talked a lot about this on the past podcast, but when you first told me, I thought you were crazy and it's just dumb and there's no way you're going to do it. And so there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. I think, you know, limiting your social media will really help you stop thinking of that, because I think that's where, especially, and I mean, I see it even for me. It's just the more you're on social media, the more you're getting reinforced of these, like, it's impossible, it's impossible. It's hard for you to start seeing it's possible. So I think you really need to just be mindful of when you're watching this stuff, just understand that, you know, especially if you're watching a lot of it, your feed's going to be just full of it. And so you got to really limit that.
Yeah. And I think the other part about this too is, there's a blog post that we share inside Roots called The Five Regrets of the Dying. And one of the top five regrets of the dying by Bonnie Ware, who was a, worked in like kind of like a hospice house and helped people essentially pass away. One of them is people regret not living a life that's true to themselves. And so I think part of, you know, overcoming and creating a better financial mindset is getting 100% comfortable with the life that you want to live, not what other people expect you to live or what is the advertised American life, because you don't have to live that. But I think growing a backbone, it takes time. It's hard. I struggled with it too when I first started, but you get to the point, especially when you get out of debt, where you start to realize, like, I just don't care anymore what other people think. And I'm more looking towards less financial stress, more financial peace, and being able to do the things that I want to do. And that's true freedom right there, is when you can break away from what other people think and what other people say.
Gallup releases an annual employee engagement survey. And so in January, they just released theirs for 2023. And 67% of workers are either disengaged or actively disengaged from work. You know, and I would love them to do a study, or I would love to figure out how we could do a study, because I find that 67% is a close marker to the number of people who live paycheck to paycheck. And I truly believe that there's a large percentage of that 67% that are stuck in work they hate and a life they hate to pay for stuff that they think is going to make them happy. And so work is just an avenue to buy stuff.
It's so funny that today, because I love Monday. Monday is probably my favorite day of the week because I'm loving what I do every day. And I was like, when I get off my weekend, I'm like, yes, I get to go to work again on Monday. Yeah. Like, yes. So it's funny how, before I was never like that. I hated my job. I cried when I had to go to work. Like, it was awful. It was so awful. But I had to go to work, like you. I had to, because I had to pay the bills. So it's pretty wild.
I think there's been plenty of research done that shows that, in fact, that people do stay in high-paying jobs or stay in the current jobs they have because of their financial situation. And we've talked about this, and there's no shortage of articles and research and, heck, books that's been written on the idea of when you have debt and you're living paycheck to paycheck, it takes away, it sucks your freedom away. Your freedom to start a new career, your freedom to move somewhere else, your freedom to start your own business. You know, there's just so many things that it keeps you from being able to do. So, Ryan, I think there's an exact correlation between the number of people who live paycheck to paycheck and who hate their job. A large percentage of those who are living paycheck to paycheck who hate their job are in that job simply because they've got to have the money to pay the bills and they don't see a way out. But when you get rid of all the debt, and Amber, you've talked about this, there's sort of a level of clarity that exists that, and I guess Ryan, you've talked about it too recently, is, you know what, I don't have any debt, and now here's a life change that just occurred. It's going to allow me the freedom and flexibility to go do something totally different. And I bet, Ryan, you probably enjoy what you're doing now, or at least feel a lot more fulfilled than what you were doing before.
I was laid off almost a year ago already. And for a lot of people, and me, you know, before I got out of debt, it would have been like, crap, I got to go find another job like now because we got bills to pay, you know, but I could evaluate and decide what I want to do. And there's a lot of power in that. There's a lot, you know, and I think that's where you really need, you know, probably one of the best things you can do is getting really clear on what you want. You know, what do you want out of life? Like, what? I think people just kind of, and I did this for years, you just kind of float through, you go to work, you buy stuff, and that's somehow like your life, that the stuff makes me happy. And then I go to work and then I buy some more stuff and I'm more happy. And it's like, after years of doing that, I was miserable, you know? And so I think getting really clear on what you want your life to look like, what do you want it to be? I think that can help you kind of figure out, you know, and kind of boost you to that next level, because being stuck in a position of I can't get out of this means you're never going to get out of it.
Well, and it brings it back to social media, right? Where you're like, all you're seeing is this feed. I did the same thing. I got sucked into it about 6 months ago, the groceries and the groceries and the groceries. And then I felt bad for people who couldn't buy a house. And I'm like, but then you got to think about it, you know, if you made some changes with your finances and you stopped focusing on all what you couldn't do and focused on what you could do, it's going to make a huge difference. So limiting that social media is going to be huge.
And if you do want to focus on the next step and you want to pay off more debt, save more money and take control of your finances, you can start seeing better results in just the first 30 to 60 days, the stuff that we talk about on this show. And we're going to show you how to do it. All you have to do is head over to debtfreedad.com, click on the green button at the top of the page to get started, and we'll show you how you can improve in just the next 30 to 60 days.
And that sound means it's time for the celebrations of the show. First, we have Brenda. I was able to replenish my ER fund to the $1,000.
Yeah, there you go, Brenda. Congratulations. Natalie says, my significant other and I are now married, and the small wedding was paid for in cash. Good for you. That is a smart, smart choice. Awesome win.
Shannon says, I have kept track of every penny that I've spent this month so far.
There you go, Shannon. Congratulations.
And Jennifer, I paid off my second debt, freeing up $800 a month towards other debt.
Yeah, that's incredible. $800 extra in your cash flow every single month can make a huge difference, Jennifer. Congratulations. And as always, congratulations to all of you guys who are taking a stand for your financial life and are wanting better. Hey, we get that getting out of debt isn't easy, but with our help and with your consistency and discipline, we promise you that this will be some of the best work that you guys do in your entire lives. Thanks for being with us on today's episode, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Debt-Free Dad Podcast. Connect with us on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Just search Debt-Free Dad. If you found value in today's episode, please leave us a rating and review. We so appreciate it. For resources, show notes, and links mentioned in today's show, visit debtfreedad.com. Catch you next week.